Please turn or tap on your screen to the book of Luke. If you are new to the Bible and you're flipping around, Luke's about, well, the New Testament is about two-thirds of the way through your Bible, and the first book is Matthew, then Mark, and then Luke. So roughly two-thirds or so the way through your Bible. We'll be in chapter 5 in just a few minutes. We're in the middle of a sermon series called Who Is This Jesus? And these are six lenses. Each of these messages are six lenses in which to see Jesus. And he is all of these things that we're going to talk about and much more. Six sermons doesn't cover everything that Jesus is. And this series will take us up to and including Resurrection Sunday. Easter is only 3 weeks away. That's seems not very far away. I'm looking forward to that. We have a great morning planned for you that day. Today's message is, who is this forgiver of sins? The heart of the gospel message is forgiveness. Your sins being wiped away by God and a restoration of a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Let's get right into the word today. I'm in Luke 5 again, and I'm starting at verse 17. I'm reading from the NIV, and that's on the screens as well if you want to follow along that way. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Now, when we read these Bible stories, it's always nice to get a visual in our mind. It can't be perfect because there were no cameras in the first century, of course. I'm going to show you a scene from the series called The Chosen. I know some of you have seen that. If you haven't, I highly recommend it. It's free. If you want to know how to get it, just contact me and I can tell you how to watch it for free. They just give it away. It is fantastic. And it is a dramatization, so it's not word for word out of the Bible, but I just highly recommend this show. Now, for time, I cut the scene to the part where Jesus began speaking to the paralyzed man. So let's take a look at that.
"Son, take heart. Your sins are forgiven." "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" "Right. But I ask you, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk?" It's easy to say anything, no? But to show you, and so that you may know, that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, my son, rise, pick up your bed, and go home."
"I
she does it.
Today, 5 years ago, on this date, they began to wake me up from an 8-day coma. I wasn't really expected to wake up from at all. And a few days after they woke up, it took me about 2 days to wake up, really, but a few days after they woke me up and I spent a little more time in the hospital, I got up and went home. It was a miracle. Jesus still does miracles. We looked at that 2 weeks ago when I talked about who is this miracle worker. You might remember that sermon. But that's not the main point of this story in the Bible, or not the main point I want to show you today. Because this man needed something else besides being able to walk, and he didn't even know he needed it in that moment. He was focused on not being able to walk, which was a big problem for him, obviously. Let's go back and look at verse 17 again, and I want to point something out to you. One day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. Now look at this. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. What I want to point out to you, and I don't want you to miss, is that religious leaders had come not just from Galilee, which is the region where Jesus did almost all of his ministry, or spent all of his ministry years, but they had come as far away as Jerusalem, which was about 80 miles, and you didn't get in a car and just drive to Jerusalem. You know, you didn't have that. Walking to Jerusalem would have been a good 4 days of solid walking to get there. So these religious leaders were there because they wanted to be. They were there for a purpose. I don't know exactly what it is, but you don't get in your car like we do and just zoom up to Jerusalem. The Bible doesn't say what their motives were for being there. There could have been some mixed motives, I don't know. But Jesus knew they would be there. He was aware they were watching and listening. And so we have this man that's paralyzed, and his friends lowered him through the roof because they couldn't get him to Jesus. They wanted him to be healed. These are very good friends. They went to great effort. That's the word I wanted. They went to great effort to make sure he got in front of Jesus. But what Jesus did was very, very unexpected. Look at verse 20 again. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." They went to all that work getting him to Jesus, and then Jesus tells the guy, "Your sins are forgiven." They didn't ask for that. He didn't ask for that. But that is what he needed more than even being healed of his paralysis. We all do. When you think about what is at stake, which is eternity, and that if your sins are not forgiven, you will spend eternity separated from God. Eternity. Permanently. If that's true, then there is nothing more important. You may need or want something in this life very badly. I understand that. I have these things too. A physical healing, a restoration of a relationship. Maybe you're having problems with a friend at school or in your marriage or with some other friend. Maybe you need some help with debt or some other money issues, business issues, anything. Those are important. But nothing is more important than being right with God through the forgiveness of your sins in Jesus Christ. This man absolutely needed healing. I doubt that he could hold a job or do anything like that. He was depending on others. He couldn't walk. Jesus saw tremendous faith in this man and his friends. But the first thing Jesus does is address the most important need, forgiveness and restoration. Before he got to anything else, which he did get to the healing, we know that, we've read the story. Before he got to anything else, he addressed this other thing, the more important thing. And that's the first of two things I want you to remember today. Jesus gives us what we need, which is not always what we ask for. We think We know what is best for ourselves. We have our wants, we have our needs. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with asking for a healing or anything else from God. You can ask him for anything as long as it's not sinful, obviously, but you can ask God for anything. But remember that Jesus always knows what you need the most, what you need more. Even after we come to follow Jesus, he knows the best way to answer our prayers. His plan is better than yours. His plan is better than mine. His plan is better than anyone else's. Jesus gives us what we need, which is not always what we ask for. And we need our sins forgiven and to be restored in a relationship with Jesus Christ before anything else is addressed. Jesus telling this man that his sins were forgiven, that stirred something up in the religious leaders, or at least some of them. That's a very strong thoughts when they heard him say this. Like, how could Jesus say that your sins are forgiven? How could Jesus say something like that? Look at verse 21 again. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Who is this guy? Who is this fellow? Who is this Jesus saying he can forgive sins?" Here's the first thing to notice in that verse. They were half right. They had their theology absolutely correct. Only God has the authority to forgive sins. They were right. I don't disagree with them. They knew Isaiah 43:25, for instance, and this is God speaking through Isaiah. I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake, and I will never think of them again. So they were right in thinking that only God can forgive sins, yes. But they were wrong about him committing blasphemy, because Jesus did have the authority to forgive sins. He was not committing blasphemy. They didn't recognize that, obviously. He wasn't committing blasphemy because he was, is, and always will be God. He has the authority to forgive sins. He didn't just come from God. He wasn't just sent by God. He is God. Jesus is God. And that's the second thing I want you to remember today. Jesus is God, and he is the only way we can have our sins forgiven. But still, anyone can say anything they want to say, right? People say things all the time. They might be wrong, they might be right. People say things online all the time. They sound like good arguments, maybe even they link to some news article. It's not true. Doesn't mean it's true. People can claim to be the Messiah returned. There's been people like that down through the centuries, that they're Messiah. They say that, but they're not. People can start a new religion, start a cult. They can say what they want to. Jesus wanted them to hear this, to experience this, to see what was going on and what was about to happen. So Jesus used action to back up his words. Heals the guy in front of everybody. Look at verses 22 through 25 again. Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk?" Now, it's really easier to say your sins are forgiven than it is to stand in front of a guy that's never walked before and say, get up and walk. He better get up and walk, or you're going to be a false teacher, right? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. The man stood up in front of them and walked away under his own power. Everyone there saw something that was impossible. And think about it, if you've known someone that couldn't walk. I knew a guy that was paralyzed from the neck down from polio. All the medical technology that we have from Jesus' day, almost 2,000 years ago to now, all the knowledge that we have acquired, the fantastic doctors in the world, nobody can fix someone from a spinal cord injury. Once they're paralyzed, generally speaking. There's things they can do to help them, but to fix their legs completely and to walk away, that's not possible. We still cannot do that. Nobody could do that. But Jesus said in Matthew 19:24 that with God, all things are possible. With God, with God, with God, with God, all things are possible. The impossible is possible with God. And they were with God that day. Some recognized it, some didn't. But the impossible did happen in front of all of them, regardless of their reaction. The impossible happened. I keep focusing on that last verse. It's still on the screen while I keep talking here. J.R.R. Tolkien, the writer, he wrote Lord of the Rings. And maybe you've seen the movies, read the books. They vary from each other a little bit. But the third book and the third movie was called Return of the King, if you've ever read that. And in Return of the King, one of the characters named Sam asks Gandalf, is everything sad going to come untrue? That's a fantastic way to put it. Is everything sad going to come untrue? And of course the answer is yes, in the real world. This was an analogy for Christ and the church and our experiences in the world and everything. Let me read you the full quote. Gandalf, I thought you were dead, but then I thought I was dead myself. Is everything sad going to come untrue? What's happened to the world? A great shadow has departed, said Gandalf. And then he laughed, and the sound was like music or like water in a parched land. And as he listened, the thought came to Sam that he had not heard laughter, but the sound of pure merriment for days upon days without count. Jesus, is everything sad going to come untrue? Yes. Yes. Keep focusing on verse 25 there. One day, that will be you if you know Jesus. If you have accepted his free gift of salvation and confessed him as Lord, that's going to be you. Your physical suffering, your suffering from grief, emotional and mental suffering, all of it, and even the suffering that you've caused in your own life by your own sins, he's going to remove and undo all of that. All of it. One day, you're going to get up and you're going to go home. No more suffering. But here's something interesting. It won't just be relief from suffering. I had a headache this morning, and I took a couple of Advil. That's relief from my headache. It may come back a little while later today. You may have ongoing pain, and you could take something for it, but it's just medicating. Jesus is not going to medicate your pain. He's going to undo it. He's going to reverse it. Everything evil, everything bad, everything sad will be transformed somehow, changed into something else that we can't quite understand in this life. It's going to be transformed into a greater joy because the evil occurred in the first place. It won't be undone. It's not going to simply be covered over. Everything sad is going to come untrue, like it never happened. Can you imagine this? I was listening to the radio back in 2006, and I wrote this down because it stood out to me so much. D. James Kennedy, some of you may remember him. He died in 2007. But I'm listening to him. I don't know if he's speaking or preaching or what on the radio, but he said that Jesus is not the only way to God. Okay, now you have my attention. He said, in fact, all people will get to God. And I thought what many of you are thinking right now, did Kennedy embrace universalism? Has he lost his marbles? He never taught anything like that. And universalism is the idea that everybody will go to heaven no matter what. God will bring everybody to heaven. But he didn't teach that. He didn't believe that. Certainly got my attention when he said it. Maybe he's gotten your attention too. What he was saying is that all people will come to God and they will be in one of two categories. One category are the people that come to God for eternal judgment. The second category are those who come to God with their sins forgiven. And Jesus is the only way to do that. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, so no judgment. So everybody goes to God. But we have different eternities. Without Jesus, there is no hope for forgiveness, only judgment. Do you know Jesus personally? Have you been born again? That's not a phrase that Christians just throw out. That's a phrase that Jesus made up. Are you born again? Because there's no other way to have your sins forgiven. Not being a nice person, not going to church, not all the stuff we do. Only Jesus. If you've never made that decision, you can do that anytime when you're ready. If you want somebody to help you, you can do it today if you want to. I'm glad to help you. Call me this week. Contact me this week. There'll be a prayer team, members of the prayer team up here after the service if you'd like to talk to them or pray with them about anything else. Now, if you have made that decision, and many, many people in here have made that decision and have been following Jesus for a while, first, recall that your sins have been forgiven, your past sins, your present sins, your future sins. They've all been nailed to the cross. The cross is sufficient to cover all your sins. And secondly, one day, you're going to get up and go home. I hope that encourages you today, because that is truly good news. That's really good news. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. You will be healed and everything sad will be undone. In the meantime, trust Jesus with your day-to-day life. And remember that he'll give you what you need, which is not always what you ask for. So prayer team members, if you come up to the front, make your way up here. We're going to have some time for ministry this morning. And I have some questions for reflection as they make their way up. This is just between you and God. It's not between anybody else. You don't have to raise your hand, do any of that stuff. But I want you to ask yourself these things in a few minutes. We'll get to them. The first one, do I believe that Jesus is God and that he is the only way I can have my sins forgiven? The second one, have I accepted Jesus as Savior and confessed him as Lord? If not, what am I going to do about it? And the third thing I want you to ask of yourself, do I believe that Jesus will give me what I need, which is not always what I ask for? Take about a minute. I'll watch the clock. You don't have to. Take some time with God now. I hope it starts a conversation with him that continues past this service. And then after a little time has gone by, I'll pray at the end. Let's do that. Father, I thank you for every friend here. And I thank you, Lord, for your offer of salvation. I thank you that you do have the authority to forgive sins, wipe them clean. I pray that all my friends have made that decision to connect with you, to come to you, to repent before you, and have their sins forgiven. Lord, we thank you for what we have to look forward to, no matter what we may face in this life. We thank you that one day we are going to get up and we're going to go home. We thank you for this account in the Bible. We thank you how it encourages us, it reminds us of who you are. We pray these things, Lord, and offer them to you in Jesus' name. Amen.